Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton. Earlier this week, I had the chance to talk with musician Lydia Violet. Lydia was at the tail end of her Colorado tour and made one final stop here at KVNF and performed a few of her songs in our bamboo room. Stay tuned to hear our interview, but first, a Persian lullaby.
My name's Lydia Violet, and I have a group, Lydia Violet and the Bones, and Jax is one of my bones. She plays washboard. Jax Lavender over here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hi, everyone. I'm Jax Lavender. I'm a Jax of all trades, and one of them is washboard player and tour manager. That's what we're doing today.
So I play a lot of gospel and folk music, but the last 2 years, I'm Persian, and I've been learning Persian music. I started learning Persian music because I was introduced to this woman, Mahsa Vadat, and she's an absolutely incredible Iranian singer. She's like a living monument, you know. And the first time I heard her sing, I mean, I cried. I think because there was a sense of what I had been disconnected from and why. And they were painful reasons, you know. And having the opportunity to connect to the depth of beauty in the poetry and the music from my own blood, I mean, it's a really special thing, and that's why I created this program called Singing Over the Bones, where I help people, I support them in connecting to their ancestries through learning myths and in their ancestry and a song in their ancestry, because this is a very, very powerful experience, you know?
And probably not a lot of people even thinking about this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want that rootedness, but maybe we don't really talk about that. I mean, some cultures talk about it and other cultures don't as much. And it's amazing to see someone take pride in the beauty of their own ancestry and also acknowledging and being able to metabolize the suffering or the pain in that ancestry. And I think the beauty and the gifts and the knowledge and the wisdom, I think that that helps us to be able to hold the difficult things that our people went through or put people through. And it can be a way to metabolize all of that, that I think is probably something that our soul needs in order to feel somewhat whole in the world.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're doing and giving people an outlet.
I think part of why I feel drawn to be a musician is because, and a teacher and a, you know, organizer, is I like to help create culture because I have things that I care about that I want to be present in the world that I know were valuable to me and are valuable to me.
So you were here in Paonia, and how did you find us?
My tour manager, Jax Lavender, she put together this whole Colorado tour. It's my first time touring my music in Colorado. And she found Blacklight Studios. So I run an organization called the Music is Medicine Project. So I have my band, but I also have the organization. And I like to produce events And so what ended up emerging was, hey, let's produce like a spring family festival. And so we ended up putting together this whole day event, and it was awesome. All the generations came, and we did a vocal workshop and community singing, like gospel and folk music, for a couple hours. And then Jax taught seed bomb making, like how to take clay and soil and put seeds in it so you can just like really throw them anywhere, water them, and the plants will sprout. And then we had a community potluck with Shea Freedom singing to us. And we're so lucky that he was here. You know, he was in Carbondale, and so he came out. And then Taylor Hawk, who's a local artist, sang. And then my band, Lydia Violet and the Bones, did some music. And people were really feeling it. It was awesome.
What a great opportunity for our locals to to get to experience.
Yeah, it was beautiful for my first time showing up in town to be able to meet that many folks and have them hear me, you know, and what I'm carrying.
Yeah. What else do you got for us?
Let's see people get ready. Okay, that sounds good.
So this is a song that I love so much. And in my shows, I kind of, you know, mark it as a way to bring in the ancestors. And it's a song by Mr. Curtis Mayfield called People Get Ready.
There's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Oh, ooh, ooh, yeah. Train the Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board them. There's room for all among those loved. So people get ready, there's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Hey! We got room, we are growing slowly, marching down. Freedom shore. We don't ask for much, just for peace and shelter. I raise our voices to thank the Lord. So people get ready, there's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Oh, ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So people get ready, there's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Yeah, don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Oh, don't need no ticket, 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 yeah. Don't need no ticket, 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 yeah, yeah. Don't need no ticket, 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 yeah. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Yeah.
That was Lydia Violet and the Bones performing People Get Ready. You're tuned in to Talkin' Music on KVNF. This week, we chatted with Lydia Violet about her music and what inspires her writing, performing, and her music as medicine festivals. Here's Lydia talking about the lineage and integrity of music.
You know, there's so many lineages of music that are soulful and give themselves to you. It's like the songs give themselves to you. And in order to honor them, you give yourselves to the song, you know? So that song, I mean, if I don't feel well, I sing that song and I feel more able to show up in integrity for the world and for myself. So it's amazing what can happen in 5 minutes, you know? I think lots of people experience that when they listen. Why do they hit play? Because there's something that resonates their internal landscape that feels nourishing, I think. Even if it's Metallica, you know, it's like there's that thing that wants to go, you know, and it's like, yeah, well, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I agree. Music moves me.
Yeah, I mean, music for thousands of years, we've used it not just to tell stories, but to metabolize something that's happening in the community or in ourselves. And now we have all this science behind it about how it regulates our nervous systems and boosts our immune response and all these things, you know, that we can point to and say, wow, look, like, oh my goodness. But I think, like, we knew that and we'd come together and sing and it would just feel good, you know, or it would feel sad, but it was okay, you know, we needed to feel sad on behalf of something. That was the intelligent response to that situation, was to feel sad. And I think we lose some of that because of there's just so much pain nowadays. How are we going to possibly hold any of it when there's so much of it? And I think that's part of why I do the work that I do, because I try and help us be able to face it together so no one has to face it alone, because Lord knows it's a lot harder to do it alone than it is with a group that's willing to be like, oh yeah, that over there, that's crazy, that's wild and not okay, and I believe you and I'll hold that with you so that you don't have to hold it by yourself, and I can do that, I can muster that muscle, you know. How do you balance on a planet that is in a perilous time? What does that look like? What does that sound like? And I think that's an important question. And I don't do what I do because I know that it's all going to be okay. I know that that guarantee isn't possible. I might be a hospice worker, or I might be a midwife. I'm not really sure what's going to happen for us. And I think we don't acknowledge that because it can be so scary. But I think that that is a reality of our time. And in order to know what medicine to apply, we need to be able to describe the wound, you know? And so if the wound is a planet in peril, I think we need to be able to talk about that to try and understand what medicine to apply. And again, not for certainty of outcome, but just to give it a chance, to give it a fighting chance. Try and give something healthy and whole and good, you know, to the world, even if it's just for the blip of my lifetime. And there's millions of people doing that. Millions of people doing that every day. And the more than human world is doing that too. You know, I think this world can be lonely, but I try and remember everyone and everything I'm always in cahoots with when I try and bring something of goodness into the world, and that helps. And like most of them, I won't ever meet, but they're there.
Wow.
They're there. That's real. They might not be in the newspaper, but they're there. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Got another song. Got another song with Jax, right?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a song that I wrote called Walk With My Love. Is kind of my love song. And it means a lot to me because I put my first Persian word that I ever put in a song in it. And so I don't know if you know any Persians, but when we get excited about something or surprised by something, we say, voy. And so this was like, oh, you want to know what it's like to fall in love while trying to bring about good things in the world while all this stuff is going on? Voy. Let me tell you what it's like to fall in love right now. Thanks, Jax, for playing Washboard with me.
You got it, sister.
Yeah.
Fires of the sun. I walk with my love through. survive. Shaken them taloy, hey John, Daddy Pushahudoy. Begin Bodel Barreman, Nagin and Gostareman, Chakat Sahdit Judoy. Begin Bodel Barreman, Nagin and Gostareman, Chakat Sahdit Judoy. Will I walk with my love through the fire?
I don't speak Farsi, but it didn't matter because I could feel all the emotion.
Yeah, a lot of Persian music, you hear the longing. I think it's because in Sufi cosmology, longing for the beloved is the same as longing for the divine. And it's a beautiful thing to long for the divine.
Yeah. You studied under Buddhist scholar Joanna Macy.
Mm-hmm. I think my biggest takeaway is that our pain for the world is not a weakness, but is a sign that we still care about what happens to each other and that we can paralyze in it because it can be so overwhelming, but that there are ways to foster resilience there and to free the paralysis so that we can feel like a helpful part and claim our birthright to be an intricate part of the web of life, you know, to have something of value to contribute to our local ecosystems, to be appreciated for our intelligence, and to be able to listen enough to the intelligence of the world around us to discern what we want to be in cahoots with, you know. A lot of that is born from listening to our pain for the world and being able to understand where it stems from. And so it doesn't have to be something that I'm afraid of, but it can actually be something that I befriend and build a relationship to so that I can also contribute to the promise of our time. There's both the peril and the promise, and they're related, you know.
Yeah, and so it sounds to me like you're not only doing that through your music with your band, your original music, but also in this music festival series.
So a lot of the way that I tour is I do workshops and concerts, and it's kind of a whole program. So Joanna's work can be carried in workshop format pretty well, you know, with teachings and group exercises. So a lot of the times I'll do anything from a 2-hour to a full day workshop before the concert. And I'll integrate music into it, but we'll do a lot of this work. That's Joanna's work that reconnects. And it just has like so many awesome parts to it that like can be really helpful in emboldening and helping us kind of both honor our pain, but honor it in the way of not letting it be a period at the end of our sentence where we get stuck, but it's an arrow that keeps going and carries us back into our place and community, you know, and like having dignity about what we care about. You know, it's beautiful to care about what happens to people. It's fundamental, but I think it's been stripped away from us a lot, the value of it, you know, just because of certain values our culture has. But how the heck are we going to get through what we're going through in the world without that sentiment of caring about what happens to each other? And I think it's an intelligence. It's not just a sentiment, you know, it's both. It's a heart-mind intelligence that we embody because we're connected and we care about what happens to people, you know?
I love that you're doing this work and combining it with music.
Yeah.
It just seems to me, because I love music, the most natural way to share this message.
I know, and I didn't do it like that for so long. I mean, I was a musician my whole life, and then I was doing Joanna's work and studying with her, but it was only 4 years ago. I was sitting with Rising Appalachia at a table and Penny Livingston, who are both amazing shiros, and I got the vision for a retreat that was Joanna's work, Rising Appalachia doing music, and Penny doing land-based learning. And I just kind of pitched it right there, and we did the first one, and it was incredible. And I started an organization because I wanted all these retreats and workshops to be no one turned away for lack of funds. So a lot of retreat and workshop culture, there's this, you know, you have to charge a lot of money because you have to take care of yourself. And so there's either take care of yourself and cut off access or open access and don't pay yourself. And so I'm like, well, I can't do either of those. So that's why it's an organization. So I fundraise money to be able to take care of myself, the people who I work with, and no one turned away for lack of funds, retreats and workshops and all the shows and everything.
And the whole festival is called Music as Medicine.
Yeah, that's the organization, Music as Medicine Project. Yeah.
And what's your last song that you're going to play for us?
This is a song that I wrote on the banjo. It's a song called Keep Her Safe. And I wrote it after a certain gentleman on TV that millions of people saw said what he could do to women's bodies whenever he wanted. And that brought up kind of a fierce feeling in me. And I felt very strongly, no, actually, anytime it's an option, you keep her safe. And for me, that writing this song was about healing some of that for myself and trying to create a place of sanctuary and acknowledgement for people. And this felt very much like the women in my blood coming to me and talking to me, and this song came out of it. So it's a song called Keep Her Safe, and my teacher Joanna Macy is on the recording. She translates Rilke poetry, so the beginning is her translation of a Rainer Maria Rilke poem. She who reconciles the ill-matched threads of her life and weaves them gratefully into a single cloth. It's she who drives the loud mouths from the hall and clears it for a different celebration where the one guest is you. Mama met me on the mountain, spoke to me through the trees. She said, daughter dear, you come from a lineage of grief. These women who are bound to you, they're gifted with sight. They can't see you now as they saw you then. They come to you in the night and say, keep her moving, keep her shaping, keep her safe, safe in this life. Keep her speaking, keep her feeling, keep her safe, safe in this life. Chance to heal, and those crocodile men with their wicked tongues may haunt you through the veil. They say not enough, not pretty, and certainly not thin. They mock you as they shout, but these rippling melodies that are in your blood cast those demons out. Catching ill-matched threads, we
reconcile the weaver and the wool. With barefoot love climbing up with vines, we heal the wicked throne. We are soft, we are supple, and singing from seed to bloom. She is the result of the love of thousands. So we keep her moving, keep her shaping, keep her safe, safe in this life. Keep her speaking, keep her feeling, keep her safe, safe in this life. Keep her moving, keep her shaping, keep her safe, safe in this life. Keep her speaking, keep her feeling, keep her safe, safe in this life. Keep her moving, keep her dancing, keep her safe, safe in this life. Keep her mending, keep her tending, keep her safe, safe in this life.
Chills so many times and tears.
You know, it was interesting. I performed that song a couple nights ago in Gunnison, and a father came up to me afterwards and he's like, "Man, I felt so fierce during that." And I was like, because he has a daughter, I'm gonna keep her safe. And I said to him, I said, "It's all of our responsibility. It's not just on your shoulders. It's all of our responsibility to keep your daughter safe." And I could see the relief, you know, and the beauty of his willingness to hold that. And also, I don't think it's just his to hold. I think it's all of ours to hold as much as we can, because there's still going to be things that happen when we all like agree on that. And I think it's a vital thing for the health of our culture to heal. So, yeah.
And it's going to take more than one dad.
Yeah.
Even though that's very sweet.
It's awesome. And I don't want him to have to hold that by himself.
Yeah. You sound pretty busy. When do you have time to write?
Yeah. I mean, I just moved part-time to New Orleans. And I am falling in love with the city. And I am also falling in love with Scott Stovey, who's a beautiful guitar player who lives there. When I go to New Orleans, I get a lot of inspiration and hear new things. And that town is a muse, I think. And I think is one of the spiritual centers of our country and what it carries for us. But I tour like 6 months a year. And then when I'm not touring, I kind of go back and forth between New Orleans and California. And I don't know, songs just, I don't have like a method, you know, it just like comes and it's like, oh, there it is. I've like learned now when to sit down and like listen. But I have an album to record, my next album, and I think I'm going to record it in Boulder. Actually, we just got an offer to record there. And, you know, just working on keeping the organization going and building and strong, and which takes like, you know, some work and feeding and imagination and really just like bringing into being like what I want to create, and then giving the music the nourishment it wants. The music industry is, you know, it's a nut to crack. And so constantly writing emails and planning tours and opening for folks and getting, you know, radio interviews and all kinds of stuff. And just to be able to play the music, you know, in a sustainable way and share it with people. So that's what I'm doing.
And where can our listeners follow along and, you know, maybe see you or catch one of these music festivals?
Yeah. All my music is under Lydia Violet on all the things. And the website's lydiafiddle.com. And then for Music as Medicine Project, you can see all the upcoming programs at musicasmedicineproject.org.
fun. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you found Paonia and found us and Tanya hooked it up and seems very meant to be.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. You've been listening to Talkin' Music. Want to listen again? Go to kvnf.org for the full interview with Lydia Violet. For KVNF, I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.